Mem Zayin Amid Aleph 2, 4, 6, 7 lines in the bottom. Where it says Nisus. Okay? And the Mishnah said it then like this. That the Baal, the Mishnah was saying, the various obligations of the husband, various obligations of the what the father gets. So the Mishnah said before, the father gets Kedusha in Kesef Shtarabia, he gets a Mitziah, he gets what she works, the father keeps, but he doesn't eat the fruits during her lifetime. Meaning if she had a field, we need to know this for the next piece of Gemara, if she brought a field into the marriage, that she got, not from her father, but from her mother's side of the family. She got a Yerusha. She brings it into the marriage, right? So the din is, the father cannot eat the fruit of the field. So now we're going to learn, the husband, though, does eat the fruit from the field. Meaning, the field belongs to the woman. The field really belongs to the woman. But the field grows things, so the husband can benefit from the fruits. But if she dies, then he inherits everything. But the father doesn't eat the fruits of the field. That's what we learned before. So the Mishnah says, Nisus, if she gets married, yes, it all of a Baal, the Baal has more than the father would have. Shu'echel Peiris, that he eats the Peiris. That's what it said in the Mishnah. So Tan Rabbanon, the Rabbanon learned like this. Cause of law, if a father, now sometimes a girl brings nadin, dowry, into the wedding. Well, a lot of times the father, especially years ago, the father would give nadin to the kala, dowry. So it says, what happens if the father wrote in the document like this? Paidus, produce, ksus, clothing, the kalim, and utensils. He brings it into the marriage contract. That they can come from the father's house to the husband's house. In other words, what happens like this. The girl had Kedushin. It's very important to know this. The girl had Kedushin. Meanwhile, the father wrote in the Ksuba that you can have clothing and the fruits and the utensils, okay? Then, so normally what happens, so when she gets married, that's the husband's. That's what she's bringing into the husband's house. Or at least the husband can eat the fruits. The problem is Mesa. She died before the wedding. So there was Kedushin, but no Nisuin. So now the question is, does the husband get it? You know, if she'd be married and then she died, the husband would get it all. Right? Whatever she brings into the marriage, the husband gets. But over here, she died before the Chuppah, before the Nisuin, but after the Kedushin. Right? So the question is, Mesa, what's the din? Leizacha habal bedvarim alolu. So the first Tana holds, the husband does not get it. Why? Because when does he get it? If they're married. If they're not married, they're just Kedushin, he doesn't get it. Mishum Nabnasin Amru, in the name of Nabnasin, the Chachamim said, yes, Zacha Baal Bidvan Malolu, the husband does get it. Okay?
Why?
Huh? Why? Well, the Gemara is going to discuss now why. Okay? So now basically the Chachamim hold, whatever the girl brings into the marriage is only valid after they get married. Rav Nosson says, no, from the Kedushin, they're going to get it already. Okay? So Gemara says, Lema beplukta Rav Elazar ben Azai v'Rabbani kamifligi. L'cheira, this should be the same argument as Rav Elazar ben Azai and the Chachamim. What's the argument, Rav Elazar ben Azai and the Chachamim? The Tran, we learned in the Mishnah further on, Nisam in his Garshom, if a woman was divorced or widowed, yeah, beim in anesuyin, beim in aedusin, whether it was after kedushin or after chuppah, gaves hakol, she gets the whole ksuba. Okay, meaning if the husband died, she was widowed or divorced. So the husband died, whether it was from the kedushin or from the chuppah, she gets it all. Okay. Rabbi Elazar ben Azayi says, no. Min anesuyin, from the wedding, meaning, if she was widowed or divorced from after the chuppah, gaiv esakel, then she gets everything. Min ha'edison, if it's an edison, and I'll explain what this means in a second, psula gaiv ha'masayim v'almanamonim, meaning like this. What the Chachamim is talking about, There's the basic ksuba. And then there's what's called Tosfos ksuba. The basic ksuba is 200 zuz for a psula, 100 for almona. Right? That the girl is going to get whether she was married or kedushin. That she's going to get. The case over here that the Gemara is discussing is as follows. The father wrote extra into the husband wrote extra into the ksuba. Instead of 200, he wrote 500. Instead of 100, he wrote 200. Whatever the amount is. Yep. So now the husband writes to the woman, in the ksuba, you're going to get more extra. So if he dies after the nesuin, of course she's going to get it. That's what he promised her in the ksuba, $500, right? What happens is if he died after the kedushin, before the nesuin. So the first opinion says, Beimin and Nesuin, Beimin or Edison, Goiva Hakol. She gets the ksuba and the Tosfos ksuba. Everything. Even though she didn't even get married to the guy yet, from the Edison on, she gets it. The Belozer ben Azayah says, Men and Nesuin, Goiva Hakol. Only from the marriage do you get it all. If it was only from the Edison, you'll get the basic ksuba, that you get from the Edison, but you're not going to get anything additional. Okay? So L'chayda, seemingly, this is the same argument. Does Chuppah do it, or does Kedushin do it? Our case was, the reverse case. The girl brought in property. And then when she dies, the husband gets it. So the argument was, does she get it only after she gets married does the husband get it? Or even after the kedushin does the husband get it? Right? But the first case is the properties of the wife to the husband. This argument of Blazer ben Azayin and the Chachamim is the reverse.
Husband to the wife.
The husband is promising money to the wife. Right? So does she get it only from the kedushin? From the chuppah or even from the kedushin? That was the... But the Gemara seemingly says it's very similar. Right? What's the difference A to B or B to A? If marriage does it, marriage does it. If kedushin does it, kedushin does it. It's the same argument.
That's father, this is daughter.
Yeah, but what's the... one's going from her to him, one's going from him to her. So, and they say why. Why does the Belozer ben Azayi say what he says? Because shalikos of law, because what's the reason the husband wrote extra... Only on Menas L'Kainsa. Only to marry her. He's not going to give her additional money if he's not even going to get married to her. If it's only Kedushin. Why would he want to give her extra money? Right? So that's what the Mishnah explains. So L'Chay the Gemara says, L'man the Amal Lo'izacha, the one that says the groom, that doesn't, if it's only for Kedushin, doesn't get, he also could have Belazer ben Azayah. What did Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah say? Only marriage makes it, not kedushin. Almandam is acha, and the one that says she does get it even from the kedushin, holds like the rabbanan. So, in other words, so far the Gemara is going to say it's really not similar cases, but right now the Gemara is saying seemingly it's a similar case, except one case is going by the ksuba from the husband to the wife, by the properties, the dowry, it's the wife to the husband. But the question is, what makes it happen? Nisuin or Kedushin? So l'chay, that would be the same thing. So Gemara says, no. Kula amar k'rab lozer ben Azayah. Everybody holds the k'rab lozer ben Azayah. That by a ksuba, if he wrote extra, it's only gonna get it, she's only gonna get it if he died from the Nisuin. Why over here do we say differently? So he says like this. The one that says that the groom doesn't get it if the kala died by the kedushin, he also could have blazer ben Azayah. That's true. But he says, but the one that says the groom gets the dowry even from the kedushin, how could he hold the blazer ben Azayah? The blazer ben Azayah says you need a chuppah to do it. He says, but it's a different case. Ad kan loy ka'amer Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah. When did Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah say his din? Mididei ledida. From the husband to the wife, by the ksuba. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah says, you don't get it unless the husband died after the chuppah. Then she'll get the full ksuba plus the extra. Why? Because why in the world would the husband write extra money in the ksuba? Only Yamanasa Kainza, because he wants to marry her. Right? So then it makes sense. But in the, for our case, it's a different story. The girl is bringing in money. Yeah? Maybe over there, the husband will get it even from the Kedushin. Why? He said, Avol midida l'diday, but the money going from the Kala, right, bringing into the Chosin, afilu Rabbi Elazar ben Azaya meida, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaya say, even from Kedushin he gets it. Why? Okay, why isn't the marriage doing it? He says like this, why? Mishum itchatunehu. Because why is the father giving money to this chosin? Because he got family ties with the chosin. He has family ties with the chosin, so he's so excited to have family ties with the chosin, he's giving extra money dowry. But for his chatan, so the bottom line is he still has a thing. In other words, even Kedushin does that.
If they're married, but if they're not married, so...
What about the property?
The Gemara says, family ties, you create even after the Kedushin. In other words, the Gemara is saying two different things. You can't compare the husband and the ksuba to a girl bringing in property into the chosin. Why? Chosin ksuba, what do you want from the ksuba? The obligations of husband to wife. Right? Why is he writing extra? Because when he marries her, he's going to like her, and so he's going to give her extra. But if they're not getting married, they just had Kedushin, and she dies, he never intended that she should get that money even from the Kedushin. Right? So he never gave it. The other case, our first case, is when the father and the girl bring in property into the marriage. Right? So over there, they say like this, why is the father writing that property in, for the marriage? Because he wants to create family ties with the chosin. Bottom line is, even from the Kedushin, you already create family ties. He doesn't care.
It's the same thing.
Huh?
Family ties start when they get married. Not like, it's the Kedushin, but there is no marrying. There is no family tie. How can...
The Gemara says, this is what the Rishonim explained the Gemara to me, that the fact that the father is excited that they're creating family ties, yeah, that's why he gives the money.
Same thing, husband wants to get married with her, that's why he gave the money.
Yeah, but he's not living with her.
The same thing, the father doesn't have any
No, but now there's still a connection with this family, they're interconnected, there was a Kedushin, and she died.
There's no more connection.
It's the family still there.
It's the family there.
Yeah, it's still family there. He says, it's only to create and stop marital ties with the chosin. And that he did.
Well, the same thing, I can't say.
Well, Mr. Gemara is explaining, though, that you can hold both opinions, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaya, that by ksuba, you only get it, she'll only get it after, at the wedding, not before. Why over there does the husband get it even before the chuppah? Because the purpose, mission was accomplished. The mission was to create family connection. They did it.
The same thing, the husband, when he dies.
He's not marrying her to create family connections.
But doesn't matter. His parents, even though he died, his parents, they would have a family toy. The same way that her parents has a family, so it goes both ways.
No, the boy is marrying the girl because he wants to be with her.
Yeah, but eventually it's going to be family tie.
Yeah, but that's not why he's adding money. That's what the Gemara says. In other words, the Gemara is going into the mindset.
No, I understand by the Kavana, but soft, it's going to be like this. The same thing this case, the same thing this case.
No, because this person, the girl, is married into the family. So that's why he gives it. And he created the connection with the family. That connection that he already created with the family is the reason why he did it. Even if they don't get married. He did it to create a relationship with the boy's family. As soon as the Kedusha was done, that mission was accomplished. But a husband to the wife, if they're not getting married, he's not interested in spending money on her. Because it's not even his wife. He can't live with her. She can't marry anybody else, but so what? Does it have to do with him? He's not gaining anything out of it.
But who wants to spend money to have a family tie, but it doesn't work? If you have a family
tie... No, the Gemara says that for him it worked. It worked for him.
But that was his intention.
Yeah. That he says. What the chosin gives to the kalin, the ksuba, he only does that because he's going to marry her.
Yeah.
What the father and the girl bring is just because they want to create family ties with the chosin.
So it's saying that even if the girl dies, their family's
still... The family's still like... connected. He says, out of pride and pleasure in establishing family ties with the chosin. So Gemar says you can't compare the two cases. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Chai b'meniseha. Okay, we said also, but the husband, he gets all the stuff, right? Her actions, her mitzia, her work, everything. But the husband eats the payers. Plus, but, then the Mishnah says the obligations of the husbands, right? The husband has to give her food, right? He has to give her pirkoin. He has to sustenance, ransom her out, and bury her. These are the obligations. Meaning, if the wife was, and there's another thing the Gemara is going into. If a guy's married, and the wife is captured, like they used to do in those days, kidnap people left and right, the husband has an obligation to redeem his wife. That's a chiyuv that he has. So now, the Gemara says like this. There's a few things he gains, and a few things he's obligated in. What is what for tit for tat? What gain against what he's obligated, and what gain is what he gets obligated for?
Business.
Yeah, so Gemara says like this. Tanu Rabbanan. Tiknu mezeneseha. The fact that the husband has to feed her, that's why he gets maisi yadeha. Well, simply it means, because the Chachamim said he has to provide her support, right, in return for getting her work. Kvudasa, that he has to bury her, what's that instead of? Tachas ksubasa. Okay? In return for his getting the dowry. The ksuba doesn't mean what he gives her, what she brings into the marriage, which is also part of ksuda. It's ksuba. The fikach, therefore, Baal Eiche Peres. Therefore, the Baal husband can eat the fruits. You know, if you ever listen to a Ksuba reading, it says, whatever she brings in, dan dunya dain, dan dowry, dan holosle mi be avuha, that she brings to the chosin from the father's house. So, over here, the ksuba doesn't mean what he pays her when he dies. It means what she brings into the marriage. So, Gemara says like this. Because he gets her work, whatever she makes, Chama said, okay, you have to feed her. Because he gets the money of the dowry that she brings into the marriage, therefore he's obligated to bury her. And then in the middle, the Baisa says, therefore the Baal could eat the fruits. So, Gemara says, Peris Mant Chashma, how do fruits get in here? Talking about burial and feeding her. What do you mean? So it says, no, it's missing in the Braisa. This is what it's supposed to say. The husband has to pay for her food because he gets what she works. Pirkana, and this that he has to ransom her. This the Braisa didn't say it, right? This that he has to ransom her if she gets kidnapped. Tachas peres, that's because he can eat the peres. It is, why is the husband obligated to redeem her if she gets captured? Because he can eat the pay that she brought into the marriage.
Perot means like just regular perot?
Any produce or investments. They didn't have the Wall Street in those days, yeah? But if the wife brought in, let's say, a field, Let's say a wife inherited the girl inherited a field from her grandfather, not from the father. Yeah, from the grandfather, right? So now she brings that into the marriage with her, but the field produces, right? So who eats those fruits? The father doesn't. Remember, we learned the father doesn't, but the husband does. Yeah, so he gained money. So because of that, Chum said, you know what, if she dies, you have to bury her. Ransom her if she gets captured. And Kvud also, why do you have the obligation to bury her? Tachas Ksuba, because of the dowry that he gets from the girl, from the right. Therefore it says, Lefikach Baal lo yechol peiros. Therefore the Baal can eat the peiros. So Gemara said, what do you mean Lefikach? It said that already clearly, that the Baal eats the fruits. What do you mean Lefikach? Therefore the Baal eats the fruits. It says that. The Tachas Ksubos, the dowry. So he says like this. Amar the Tema would think, and the Gemara is going into the Gemara is going into the brain of a person, how a person thinks. Gemara says like, I would think, Mechel le'nichlin, he shouldn't be allowed to eat the fruits. What should he do with them? Enuchi ni'nichi. He should put them aside. Obviously sell them. You can't, fruits are not going to last for years. Okay, I would think like this. The Mishnah, the Braisa says, because he has to bury her, he gets the fruits of the field. Right? Therefore it says, Lefikach. Therefore, he eats the fruits. So Gemara says, what do you mean? You just said that. The husband gets the fruits. What do you mean, therefore, he can eat the fruits? So Gemara says, no, I would think he gets the fruits, but he's not allowed to eat it. What does he do? He sells them and puts away the money. Why? In case she gets kidnapped, he'll have money to ransom her. So the Mishnah says, no. The Braisa says, Lefikach? No. The Baal could eat the fruits. He doesn't have to sell them and put the money aside. Why? It's a very interesting thing. Because I would think that he shouldn't eat it. Why? Dimke, what's the problem with that? Mim nevelei padek. He might not be able to redeem her. Because let's say she gets ransomed, yeah? And they want $1,000 to redeem her. Where's he going to get the money from? So I would think, maybe he shouldn't eat the fruit. Let him sell the fruit. Right? Let him put away the money. That there'll be a ransom fund. In case she gets kidnapped.
He'll have the money.
So Gemara says, no. The Mishnah says that, we don't do that. Why? Kamash malon, do adifa, it's better. Let him eat the fruit now.
Why?
Zimnun delemalo parakle medidei. Because what happens, and this is, again, the Gemara is going into the brain of a person. Let's say he puts away the money from the fruit. He sells the fruit. It comes up to be $500. Yeah? But the ransom is $1,000. He's going to say, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to ransom her. I don't have $500 to ransom her. And from the fruits, I only collected $500. Right? Because he sees exactly what he got from the fruits. So the Mishnah says, the Rabbi said, we're not going to do that. Let him eat the fruits. He won't keep a cheshbon how much fruits he ate. So even though he ate $500 of fruits, he's not going to think he ate $500. He'll think maybe I ate $1,000. So therefore, he'll ransom her for whatever price it is. If he has cash in front of him,
he knows exactly
what it is. So he's saying, 1 minute, $500 from all your fruits. It's costing me $1,000 to ransom you. Why should I do it? He's not going to do it. Why should he do it? But when he eats the fruits, little by little, or they say yiddle by yiddle, okay, so then he's just going to know, you know what? I ate all that fruit. I really have to ransom her, whatever it is. So that's what we mean the fikach. Because the Chachamim instituted, okay, the fruits instead of the ransom. Lefikach, therefore, right? Therefore, let him eat the fruits right away. Because then he won't have the big problem of not being able to ransom her.
Like psychology.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes it's better not to know, it's better.
Yeah. That's what the Gemara is saying.
Are people like this nowadays too?
Huh?
People are like this nowadays? Or the nature has changed?
No, same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
If you do something, you don't realize it's enough.
It's because here it's open. He has $500 put away in escrow. Yeah? Like an escrow fund, yeah? And it's going to cost $1,000. He said, you know what? It's not worth it for me. I'm not going to stay there. It's not worth it for me. But if he just keeps eating the fruit and eats it, he's not going to think of Cheshbon how much he ate. At the end, the bottom line, he says, you know what? The Chum said, I ate all that fruit. I have to ransom her. Whatever it costs, he'll get the money and ransom her. So the Bryce is saying two things. Number one, that because you ransom her, therefore you eat the fruit. Right? Or you eat the fruit, therefore you have to ransom her. But then the Bryce adds to it. What do you mean eating the fruit? It doesn't mean you put it away in an escrow account in order one day if you need to ransom her. Right? And then, by the way, if she was never kidnapped and the wife dies, the husband's going to get that money. So he says, no, he could not eat the fruits because it's better for her that he eats the fruits. And he actually eats it. So now the Gemara says like this.
Nothing to do with this logic that maybe she's never going to be captured. It's better to eat it. That's not the logic, no?
Huh?
That's not the logic. At least eat it. Same. Who knows? Maybe it's never
low probability of being captured. So
how often?
I had wanted to, in those days, it's pretty common. It's pretty common. But now the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. We just got through saying in this Braise that Mezainis is because he gets her work. Yeah? Burial, because he gets the dowry. And then, because he buries her, he gets
Perot because of the capture.
But the Perot is for the ransoming. And the Kvore is the dowry he gets. So Mar said, maybe it's the reverse. In other words, how do you know that Mezainis is because of Maisi Adel, and Kvuda is because of the Peiris, whatever. Maybe it's the opposite.
Could be any of them.
Yeah, maybe, how do you know A is for B? And Sumar says, A Pachana, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe the reason why he supports his wife is not because, maybe because he gets the right of her earnings, and his obligation to him, maybe it's the opposite. The Gemara says, Amar Abai, Abai says no. Tiknu matzi lamatzi. Common is to common. Meaning, the first thing the Braisa says, you have to feed her, because she works, she gets money. That's both common. The woman used to work side jobs to get money, right? So that makes sense. This is common, feeding her. That she has a job is common, feeding her. And eina matzi is eina matzi. Okay? Taken captive is a rare case. Okay? And it's also rare that a woman brings money into the ksub, into the wedding. What happened? She had to inherit a field from her grandfather. That's not a common thing. Right? So therefore, ransom, which is not common, is instead of the dowry, which is uncommon. Her work and feeding her, those are both common. So you put common with common, uncommon with uncommon.
That was part of the ketubah in those days?
Huh?
That was part of ketubah, these things? Or this is like yeah. Something optional?
No, if she brought in. But the Gemara says it was rare that they brought in. How does a girl own anything? Whatever she owns goes to the father. Right? So Gay says she inherited something from her mother's side that the father had no right to. But that's not common, the Gemara says. Just like her being taken captive is uncommon.
That's what they like.
Therefore, we like, because of this, you get this. You have to feed her because she makes whatever money she brings into the marriage you keep. That's both common. So both common, that's what you do.
So according to this, so nowadays before the getting married, they do a pinup, you know this. So is it against this?
No, you talk about two different prenups.
Not like the money that they have.
If you're talking about a prenup of money, which you usually do by a second marriage, right?
No, the first marriage.
No. The prenup that the rabbis are talking about doing, that's, God forbid, for a get.
Yeah. Nothing to do with this.
No. The prenup they're talking about today that many rabbanim are against, and many rabbanim are for it, is when they get married, they have a crisis with a guna. The husband refuses to give a get, right? So the wife remains in a guna. Yeah? So what's this, what the so-called solution is? Because there's a din that if a guy forces you to give a get, it's not kosher. If Bezin forces you to give a get, it is kosher. Okay? So he can make a prenuptial that the court is going to force you to give a get. Because then it's not going to be kosher. So what's the kosher way, so to speak, of doing, which is questionable in halacha, by the way, is that they say that if a bezin feels you need to give a get, yeah, every day you don't give the get, you have to pay her $150. So what's the guy forcing you? Not to give a get,
to pay the money,
but to pay $150. Correct? So many rabbis say that's a lot because they're not forcing you to give a get. The prenuptial is that in case you're supposed, Bezdin rules, it says Bezdin rules, you have to give the get and you refuse to give a get. So the courts will enforce that you have to pay $150 a day. Right? So the rabbis that permit it, like the modern Orthodox world is big into this now. So what do they want? Because the court will pay. So the court's not making you give a get. Because they're not forcing you to. You can keep paying. If you're our president, just unlimited money. So you can just keep paying. Who cares? They're not forcing you to give a get. But this is enough of a force that the husband on his own should want to give the get. That's one prenuptial that everybody talks about today. It's nothing to do with finances.
But the finances, is it kosher? Because usually it's
one second. That's one issue.
Yeah.
Now, what usually happens, by the way, it's more so by a second marriage. Okay? Let's say, 50-year-olds are getting married, yeah? He has his family of kids and his money, right? And she has her family with her money, right? They don't want the other one to get the, so they make a prenup. Then in case we split, your money is your money, my money is my money, or whatever they make up. There's nothing to do with it yet. It's just a financial...
That's okay.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? You want to do it,
What about the first marriage? What they're doing nowadays? Before they do Persian,
I know in the formal world they're against it.
Because this is against this. Because whatever the woman brings is for the husband, because he's supporting him with food, whatever.
No, but that's not against that aspect.
No?
Because he agrees to, if a husband comes into a marriage, yeah, and writes on a piece of paper signed by two witnesses, I promise you $150 a day for food. Can he do it?
Yes.
Yep. Right? Now, what happens, even a young couple gets married today, the wife's making more than the husband. She's a doctor, a lawyer, the husband is whatever he is. Yeah? So the Gemara says later in Ksuvos, by the way, she has a right to tell the husband, I don't want this Takonas Chachamim. In other words, this Takonas Chachamim is for the wife's benefit. Chum said, listen, you make money, it's going to go to your husband. Why? Because your husband's supporting you usually more than the money you make. So it's only right. if the husband's supporting you, it's only right for your benefit. Yeah? That you should, whatever you make goes to the husband. Correct? But if the wife is making more than the husband, the wife is, halachically, the Mishnah says later, a wife could tell the brazen, I don't want this takana. Don't support me. And what I make doesn't go to you. Because it's for her benefit. Therefore, if it's for her benefit, the takana, she can stop it. She can say, I don't want it. For me, it's not a benefit. The husband can't say, to the wife, no, I won't feed you and don't give me what you own. He can't do that. Because the takana was for her benefit. That she should have food. Right? But if she doesn't want it, she has a right to say, listen, it's for my benefit, I don't want it.
It's okay to do that.
Yeah? Okay. Amr Rav says not like this. Hai Tana Savar, this that we said, that the Gemara is going to say the following brisa holds, that Mezainis, the husband feeding the wife is biblical. We're going to see there's a machlekes if the husband's obligation of supporting the wife is biblical or rabbinic. Okay, so Rava says, this Tana that we're going to learn now in this brisa holds, Mezainis deraisa. The feeding, the thing is minateira. Other chachamim hold, midrabanan. This Tanya holds it's midaraisa. Where? Because the Tanya says in the braisa like this. When the Torah speaks about the obligations of a husband to a wife, the Torah says, she'era, ksusa, va'inasa, le'yigra. Okay? Right? She'era, ksusa, va'inasa. So now the Gemara is going to define each one. She'era is mezainis. He has to feed her. V'chein, where do we see she'era means food? So it says, v'chein u'aymer, because the pasuk says, v'ashe'achlu she'er ami. What the she'er ami, meaning the people ate their food. So you see, she'era means food. K'susa, what's the second obligation the husband has to the wife? K'susa, k'pshuta, k'mashmo, giving her clothes. Einasa, what is einasa? It means marital relations. Eina amura b'teira, the relations as often as the Torah says you gotta do it. Where do we see eina means marital relations? Because it says, im ta'ana es b'neisai, what Lavan said to Yaakov, if you hold back marital relations for my daughters, so then, you know, you're transgressing this thing. So according to this Tana, that we just said, right? She'era, ksusa, va'inasa, la yigra, the Pasim Parshas Mishpatim we just read last week. She'era, ksusa, va'inasa, la yigra. According to this Tana, what does she'era, ksusa, va'inasa mean? Food, clothing, and marital relations. And that the Pasuk says. That means according to this Tana, the way he defines the Pasuk, all three, food, clothing, and marital relations is a biblical obligation from the husband to the wife. Now, Belazar Eimer, nope. She'era is Aina. She'era doesn't mean food. It means marital relations. Dechsev, where the Avchenu Eimer, Ish, al kol She'er Besarei, Leisikru V'Logalasev, the Torah says, anybody should, a She'er of your flesh, meaning a relative, to commit adultery. So you see, she'era means aina, marital relations. Ksusa, kemashma. Again, clothing, simple. Ainasa, elamazainis, food. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. So both of them is midoraita, according to both of them.
Just different.
Different proof.
No.
Different order.
Huh?
Both of them is right.
Yeah, but we didn't get to the third opinion. The Belazar ben Yaakov Eimer, this is the third opinion. So you're right. According to first opinion, and Rabbi Lazard, Sheira, Ksusa Veinasa, all means food, clothing, and marital relations. The question is, the first opinion says, Sheira is food, Ksusa Veinasa, and the other one says, no, Sheira is marital relations, Veinasa is food. But there's a third opinion. Rabbi Lazard ben Yaakov Eimer, no. Sheira, it means Ksusa. Clothing. Lefum, like the pasuk says, lefum she'era, according to her flesh, tank susa, give her garment. Meaning, listen to this, shalayitan la shayadul eskena, don't give a young woman's clothing to an old lady, and don't give an old lady's clothing to liyalda. Okay? Ksusa va'einasa, according, then it says, Ksusa v'einasa. Lefum einasa, tain ksusa. Based on eina means season, time, give her garments. Shalayitain chadashim b'meisa chameh, she shouldn't give her new clothes during the summer. Okay? And leishchakim b'meisa, not worn clothing in the winter.
What is clothing? Sheira is clothing, and kesuta is clothing.
Yep.
What about the other one?
No, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, those are rabbinic. But it's very interesting the way he says, Pasik, Sheira Ksusa, based on her body size or age, give her Ksusa. Then he says, Ksusa Vainasa, based on the season, Ainasa is the season, give her garments. In other words, like this, new garments are not worn out. So they're heavier. So they're better for the winter, when it's cold. Worn out clothing are thinner, so it's better for the summer. You shouldn't give thin garments in the winter and thick garments in the summer. Okay? So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, clearly, the only thing that's minatera is garments. He says, sheira ksusa, ksusa inasa. But everything goes about ksus. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, only clothing is minatera. Food and marital relations are only midrabanan.
That's not Arab.
Huh?
It's very far.
Why?
Using she'era and kesuta for clothing for.
See, what's interesting over here, Tosis says, Rashbam or whatever. So according to the simple meaning over here that we said, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, everything's midrabanan, except clothing. Yeah? According to the first two opinions, Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar, it's all benatayr. The only question is, what does Sheira mean? What does Einasa mean? But it means food, clothing, and marital relations. According to the Blas of Yaakov, the way we learn Pshat, only Ksus is Minateira, right? But Taisis says, no, it's not true. In a Braise, it says clearly the Blas of Yaakov says it's Minateira.
Is everything?
Yeah. How does he learn it out? Right? How does he learn it out? Taisis says. Because he just got through saying, Sheira Ksusa, Ksusa Veinasa, all of our garments. So the Taisa says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov learns it on a Kal Vachomer. If a guy is obligated, Minateira, to give clothing, food for sure. Right? And if he's obligated to give clothing and food, for sure he's obligated marital relations. That's what marriage is all about. But so therefore, Taisa says, when the Gemara says, Rava says, Hai Tana Savar, this Tana holds, Mizainis is Minateira. So the way Rashi learns, or Rashbam, whoever it is, right? So, it's only, the first two Tanoim hold its Minateira, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds its Midrabanan. So when Rava says, Hai Tana Savar, Mizainis Midaraisa, right? Means the first two tanoim that say sheira ksusa veinasa means food, clothing, and marital relations. Correct? But the way Taisus learns, even the Belazim and Yaakov holds this Minat Torah. So when Ravis says, Haitana holds Mezenis and Minat Torah, it means all three of them. The Tana of this Braisa, all three Tanoim of the Braisa hold that food is Minat Torah. By the way, but here's an interesting question. If it's Minat Torah, how could the woman say, I don't want it? We said the woman could say, don't feed me and don't support me. And then I'll support myself, but I won't give you anything. If it's Minat Torah, how could she stop it? So the Gemara in a different place says that those are monetary things. Monetary things, you can make a condition against the Torah. Marital relations, the Gemara says, because it's not monetary, she could be meichel, but not completely.
Food and clothing and mobile.
It's money. Money, it could be meichel. Listen, if I lend you $1,000, yeah? Minatoyda, you owe me $1,000? Minatoyda, you owe me $1,000, yeah? Can I say forget it?
Yeah.
Why? I'm going against the Torah. Torah says you have to pay him back. I say, no, forget it, you don't have to pay me back. Why? Because the condition is, Masna Masha Kosa B'Torah, the Gemara says a rule. Masna Masha Kosa B'Torah, if you make a condition against the Torah, the Gemara says, Tanoi bottle. The Tanai is bottle. There's no, but the Gemara said that doesn't apply to money.
Only money, yeah?
Huh?
Only money.
Only money you can not do, but the other ones you can do. Okay, next is Persian Gemara.
Can Isha also? No.
What?
Ketubah or whatever.
It's all
money. So she
can't
sign the one.
Sure.
Anything money?
Let me ask you a question. If the guy dies and the estate has to pay her ketubah, or he divorces her, and she says, you know what? Forget it. In fact, I'm not sure, but I think in Eretz Yisrael today, they're meichel the ketubah officially. Somebody told me that, I don't know, but the Mechel Yerusha, different things. But see, in America, they end up getting in a settlement more than the Ksuba is worth anyway, so they're getting the Ksuba. But if a woman says, you know what, don't give me the Ksuba, it's fine. It's good. But now the Gemara says like this, Tana Rav Yosef. When it says she'eda, like he says, which refers to intimacy of the body, zukira basar. It has to be body to body. Shalayinik minik parsiyim. He shouldn't, this is an interesting thing. You shouldn't do what the Persians do. They have marital relation with their clothing on. You know, the world says you do it through a sheet. That's the world. The religious people do it through a sheet. So Gemara says, no, it's not like that. Misayilei Rav Huna, by the way, this is a proof to Rav Huna's din. What does Rav Huna say? If the man says to the wife, I can't have marital relations skin to skin. It only could be with my clothes on and her clothes on. The din is yaitzi v'yiting ksuba. He has to divorce his wife and pay her the ksuba. Because he can't express, because he's not fulfilling his obligation the way he's supposed to be doing it. But he brings out an interesting thing, that this din of Rav Huna is even where he does it by tznius. He says, out of modesty I want to do it that way. If the wife doesn't, obviously she doesn't care, if she doesn't give him, say if she cares, he has to divorce her. He can't expect her to stay married to him, and he has to pay the ksuba. Okay? Okay, just start the next piece of Gemara. So now the Gemara is going back to the Mishnah. Remember it says, when the husband buries the wife, it says he has to bury her. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, in the Mishnah it says, even the poorest man cannot have less than two flutes. Remember, even the poorest man of Israel may not hire less than two flutes and a crying woman at the funeral. Yeah? That means you're obligated, no matter how poor the guy is, you're obligated him to go borrow money, whatever, to have two flutes and a crying woman at the funeral. So Gemara says, one second. If Rabbi Yehuda holds that means the Chachamim don't hold that. Right? Because the Chachamim say you have to bury her. Kan Dennis says, Rabbi Yehuda Imer. Now there's an interesting Bechlal. If it would say, Amer Rabbi Yehuda, that means he's not arguing. But it says, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, that means he is arguing. Right? So that means if Rabbi Yehuda holds, you need two flutes and the Mekainanis, that means Chama hold not. Right? So Gemara says, 1 minute. Hei Chidami. Ido Orcha, if the custom in that city is to have flutes, two flutes and Mekainanis, my time had come at the Tanakhama Damalai. Why did the Chacham say no? If that's the custom, it's degrading if they don't do it. Right? V'ilav urcha, and if it's not the normal custom in that city, my time at Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda hold? In other words, what's the woman's custom? If her custom in her family is to have two flutes, so why did the Chacham hold you don't have to? Right? If the custom is they didn't have two flutes, so why does Rabbi Yehuda say they did have to? Right? So, it's more asking a very simple question. What's the custom? Yes and no. If it's yes, then of course you need it. If it's no, then why do you need it?
Why the Chacham
argument? Yeah. And that's the Gemara's question basically, what's the argument?
Yeah.
The argument doesn't make sense. Because if the custom is to do it, then both should say you have to do it. If the custom is not to do it, how can you force the guy to pay something that's not the custom? So my answer is a very interesting thing. Like Tzrichet speaking, his custom is to have flutes, but it wasn't her custom. That means the Chosin's family, the custom was to have it. And the Kala's family, they didn't do it. So Tanakama Sava, the Tanakama Sava says like this. Ki amrinin oila ime vena yeredesime. When do we say the woman rises up to the husband's level of wealth? And not vena yeredesime, does not go down to his station. Hani mili mechaim, that's only when he's alive. Meaning like this. The din is, a woman can go up to the husband's status, but she can't expect a woman to go below the husband's status. Okay? Hanimid, that's only when they're alive. Avalachamisalai. But after death, no. So therefore, like this. His custom was two flutes. Right? Her custom was not two. So normally, if they would be alive, the Chum would say, no, you have to follow the husband's because that's wealthier. But after she died, the Chum would say, it's his custom to have flutes. Her custom is not to have flutes, then you don't need flutes. And Rabbi Yehuda says no, even though she's dead, but the fact that the husband's custom was wealthier, that they had two flutes, so even though she died, they need two flutes. And the Gemara concludes, Amar v'chista marmuk aloha k'rab Yehuda. Aloha k'rab Yehuda, that poor or rich, you need at least two.
Live, not like.
Yep.
Hey.